Blog Talk Radio. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his holy name together. Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and let us enter into his holy courts with praise. Good morning, my brothers and sisters, family and friends. You are indeed listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience for this June 4th, 2023. Now, I am Apostle Shalene Cook, and I am always joined by some wonderful servant leaders here at Spirit Alive in the persons of Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, Bishop Lester Carver, Pastor Vanessa Carver, and Apostle Zeta Flowers are all joining me this morning. I'd also like to say a special good morning to our family out in California holding it down, to Lee and Terry Larson, and to Brother Marty Nichols. We want to say good morning to all of you, and on behalf of all of us, we want to welcome you to this morning's service. We pray that you will hear something that will truly uplift your spirit and bless your soul. So won't you please bow with me now as we open our worship service in prayer. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we come now to your throne of grace, thanking you for this opportunity to come together as family and worship you in spirit and in truth. We pray right now in the name of Jesus that everything we say and everything that we do, oh God, will be pleasing unto you. We pray in the name of Jesus, Father God, that your people will be edified. They will be encouraged. They will be lifted up, Father God, by your word. And Lord, we pray that if somebody doesn't know you in the pardon of their sin, that you, Lord God, that they would come unto you this morning, receive the call, Lord God, and make you their Lord and Savior. It is in Jesus' name I pray all things. Amen and amen and amen. Thank you,
Jesus. Give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can.
Come on, let him know.
I give myself. Give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away.
What would happen if a generation embraced this? Come on, tell them.
Here I am. Here I am.
Yeah.
Hallelujah and glory to God. Thanks to God, we are so blessed to have Mother Shirley Snyder back on her post so that she can read to us the meditational reading for today from a powerful devotional written by Pastor Joseph Prince. So, saints of God, please retrieve your Bibles and give your undivided attention to the mother of this assembly, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell. Amen.
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 Praise God. I am so glad to be here. And I love each and every one of you, no matter how far away you are or how close to me you are. The mind of Christ doesn't grow old. Is the topic of the morning message. We'll be looking at a very short portion of 1 Corinthians 2:16, and it reads, verse 16, we have the mind of Christ. Now, that's something worth having. And it reads thusly, oh, dear, my memory is not as good as it used to be. I must be getting old. Have you heard that before? Maybe you have even said it yourself a couple of times. But who says that as you grow older, you are supposed to forget things? When the late Reverend Kenneth E. Hagin was in his 80s, he was still healthy and strong. This amazing man of God could run around the platform as he preached. And those who have heard him preach would tell you that he had an amazing memory with which he could recall specific details, such as the day of the week that the specific date fell on and even the time. Even at that age, the man's memory was superb. He once shared how he had started to forget things when he was in his 50s. He had read a medical journal which said that every day millions of our cells in our brains die. He didn't realize it, but those words got into his spirit and he started to forget things. So he asked the Lord, what is happening to me? And the Lord said, you read that article and you believed it. He repented and asked the Lord what he should do. The Lord said, confess my word. My word says that you have the mind of Christ, and the mind of Christ never forgets. He started to confess that he had the mind of Christ, and that was how his memory remained sharp for the rest of his life. My friend, the word of God says that you have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is not old, slow, or forgetful. I don't care how old you get, you don't have to become forgetful. Don't believe and confess what medical science or your friends say. Believe and confess the word of God, which brings life. The power of life and death is in your tongue. Proverbs 18:21. So use your tongue for life. Don't sit around saying, I am getting old and forgetful. Say, I have the mind of Christ. My mind is sharp and quick because it is the mind of Christ. Believe it, confess it, and see your thinking and memory live up to it. May the Lord add blessings and favor to the readers, hearers, and especially the doers of his holy and mighty word. The thoughts for the day: you have the mind of Christ, which is not old, slow, or forgetful. Amen, and glory to God.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah and glory to God. It is now prayer time here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience. And this is a very special time because this is the time that we stand in the gap for our brothers and sisters, not just in the United States, but for our listeners all over the world and our brothers and sisters all over the world. So right now, I'm going to ask that you just clear your mind, bow your hearts and your heads, and prepare to go to the throne of grace with Apostle Zeta Flowers. Amen.
Amen. God bless each and every one of you. We're going to go into prayer. We're going to go to the throne of grace, hallelujah, with our request this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father God, we come to you this morning. We come to you, Lord, knowing, hallelujah, that you will hear us and that you will answer us and you will show us the things that we need to know. Praise God. Hallelujah. We come before you this morning, Lord, thanking you for who you are and asking, Lord, for your forgiveness this morning for anything, Lord, that we may have been holding on to or and not letting go of. We ask, Lord, that you would forgive us this morning as we come before you, hallelujah, asking for forgiveness. We pray for your forgiveness in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We pray, Lord, that you will just surface anything that we may not even know about. Hallelujah, so that it can be corrected in Jesus' holy and righteous name. Thank you. We thank you for watching over us. We thank you for your hand of protection upon us. We thank you for allowing us to see another day. We thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to praise your name, to lift you up, and to walk in obedience to you, God. We thank you for the opportunities that you give us each day. We thank you for your provisions. We thank you, hallelujah, for meeting our needs. We thank you, Lord, hallelujah. We thank you. We thank you for watching over us, Lord, when we were in danger and were not even aware of it. We praise your name this morning. Hallelujah. We thank you for all of the things that you do for us. We thank you for using us as your vessels in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We thank you for our families. We thank you for our worship places this morning, and we lift them up to you in the name of Jesus all over the nation. Hallelujah. And all the other nations, we lift you up, God, in Jesus' name. We pray for salvation for those that that yet don't know you in the pardoning of their sins. Lord. We pray that they will be drawn unto you in the name of Jesus and ready and wanting to turn their lives over to you, God. Hallelujah. Yes. And that's in our families, hallelujah, our communities, hallelujah, our state, and all across the nation and all the other nations across the world. In Jesus' name, we pray for salvation this morning. We pray, Lord, for your help, hallelujah, among your people. We lift up those, Lord, that are suffering all across the nations. We ask, Lord, that you would touch, that you would move in a mighty way in the name of Jesus. Those that are unsafe right now, we pray that you will make them safe in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We pray for freedom. Hallelujah. Because we know, hallelujah, that your son Jesus died. Hallelujah. That we could be free indeed. We pray that you would help your people all over the world to experience your love and your freedom. In the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, we pray for your hand to touch those, Lord, that are in the hospitals and those that are in nursing homes and those that are confined to their homes. We ask, Lord, that you would touch this morning. We speak healing this morning. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We call forth miracles in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, those that need a miracle this morning, hallelujah.
Yes.
We ask, Lord,
yes,
that it would be granted in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That miracles will be wrought in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We pray for your people to put their trust in you, God. Hallelujah. Not in man and not in things and not what they might have and not in their education, not in their callings and not in their gifts, but in you, Christ Jesus, the gift giver.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And we know that the greatest gift that you've given us is your son, Jesus. And we thank you. Hallelujah. We thank you. And we know, hallelujah, we pray for others to know, hallelujah, that everything, hallelujah, that we need is wrapped up in your son, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We pray for that experience, hallelujah, to be among your people everywhere in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus, that they may know you, hallelujah, and know your power in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And have a relationship with you, God. We pray for that this morning all across the nation in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, let your kingdom come, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We pray for those that are confined, hallelujah, in jails, prisons, hallelujah, juvenile halls. We pray for them, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that somehow they will hear about you. Hallelujah. Even on this day, Lord, hallelujah, use your servants in those places to bring the gospel, hallelujah, that they can hear and that they can know about you, God, hallelujah,
yes,
that they can gain freedom from you, Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, we lift them up this morning. Hallelujah.
Yes, yes.
Oh, and those that are working in these places, Lord, we pray that they may be touched by your spirit as well in the name of Jesus. And those that you send in and those that go and come into these places, we pray that you would use them mightily in the name of Jesus. And we just thank you. We thank you for what you're doing. Hallelujah. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Hallelujah. We pray, Lord, for those that are suffering, hallelujah, from different reasons, different situations, wars and, hallelujah, disasters, natural disasters and all the worldly disasters, and we come against it this morning. In the name of
Lord
Jesus, hallelujah.
Yes.
We pray, Lord, for unity this morning, hallelujah, and a spirit of obedience, a spirit of cooperation, hallelujah, with your word, Lord, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, we come against that spirit of division, hallelujah. We call forth unity and
Lord
peace in the name of Jesus. Bring peace, Lord, peace, hallelujah, only you can, hallelujah, hallelujah. Give us all of us, Lord, hallelujah, the mind of Christ this morning, hallelujah,
yes,
hallelujah.
Yes, sir, yes, sir.
In the name of Jesus,
yes,
hallelujah, that we will go forth in the mind of Christ, hallelujah, that we will follow in your footsteps, God. Hallelujah, that we will have a greater desire to do the things that you would have us to do. Hallelujah, that it will make a difference, hallelujah, in the entire world. And we praise you for it, Lord. Teach us your ways. Hallelujah. Lead and guide us,
Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Through our Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.
Thank you,
Lord, for how you make a way when it seems like the way is impossible. We thank you. We thank you, hallelujah. We thank you that we can have all the things that we need through you, Christ Jesus. Help us even to seek your face even the more, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we just thank you. We praise you for what you're doing right now. We thank you for your blessings, the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Hallelujah. The blessings that are yet coming, hallelujah, into fruition. We thank you, God. Hallelujah. And we praise you in Jesus' holy name. We lift up Spirit of Life Ministries. Hallelujah. We lift up your leader.
Bless you, Apostle Green Cook.
Hallelujah.
Bless you, lift up all
of the servant leaders in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
And everyone that is listening, this morning on this broadcast. Everyone that's tuned in, God. We ask that you would do something special for each and every one this day in Jesus' name, and that you would meet every need. And we thank you for it. We praise you in Jesus' name. We speak healing, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, those that need to be healed this morning, hallelujah. We ask, Lord, that they would just open up and receive you, God, and believe you, hallelujah, knowing that with you all things are possible. And we thank you for it. Amen and amen.
Amen. Glory to God.
One, two, three. Bless me.
Bless me, God.
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah and glory to God. It is now time for this morning's message. But before I begin, I first want to give honor to God. I want to give honor to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the head of my life. Giving honor to the wonderful servant leaders here at Spirit Alive. To all of you, our esteemed guests in the sanctuary, and to our beautiful listeners all over the world. May God's peace be unto you and your household. Well, we are up to chapter 20 in the book of Acts. Hallelujah. We are just plowing on through the book of Acts. So right now I need you to turn to Acts chapter 20. And today we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 12. Now, if you are listening to me somewhere where you don't have a Bible, but you happen to be listening on your smartphone or your computer, you can simply pull up BibleGateway.com, type in Acts chapter 20, verses 1 through 12, and you will be right on board. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And the Word of God reads as follows. And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece and there abode 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia, and there accompanied him into Asia, Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus, and Secundus, and Gaius, and Derbe, and Timotheus, and of Asia, Tychius, and Trophimus. These going before tarried for as at Troas. And as we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Hallelujah. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in the window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up for dead. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him said, "Trouble not yourself, for his life is in him." When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers and doers of his holy and righteous word. Most gracious and heavenly Father, I come before you right now asking that I completely decrease, so that you might increase. Lord, I pray that this message would impact your people, would edify your people in a mighty way. And I pray, Lord God, that you will be lifted up in a way that you can draw somebody unto yourself this day. Lord, I want to thank you for the opportunity to teach your holy word. So use me as only you can. And it is in your holy and righteous name I do pray all things. Amen, and thank you, Jesus. Family, today I want to talk about discipleship, because some of the last words Jesus spoke to his followers was for them to go and make disciples.
Yes.
But what is discipleship? What did discipleship mean for his followers then? And what does it mean for us today? And with this in mind, I thought it would be very, very helpful for us to review how Jesus made disciples. Now, Professor Rob Bell speaks on the selection process that Jewish rabbis would use to choose their disciples. At the age of 6, children would begin to learn the Torah. This training was called Bat Sefer. And then from 8 to 10, they would have the Torah memorized. Now, those are the books of the Bible from Genesis through Deuteronomy. Now, by the end of this Bat Sefer, most kids would go and learn their family trade. But the best of the best would advance to the next level. The ones with the most natural ability would then memorize Genesis to Malachi. And after this test, the best of the best would then apply to the rabbi to become his disciple. But what did Jesus do with the 12 disciples? Well, he called them to follow him and to become full-time students under his tutelage. And as I've heard many of the servant leaders such as Pastor Vanessa and Apostle Zeta Flower say, it was an honor to be chosen by a rabbi for full-time instruction. It meant that he saw something in you that told him it would be worth his time to invest his life in you. And as the disciples followed Jesus, they learned by watching him, listening to him, imitating him, making mistakes, studying the scriptures in light of his instructions, asking questions, and so on and so forth. You see, we believe that Jesus wants us to be disciples that make disciples. We all need to commit ourselves to being lifetime students of God and his holy word, the Bible. We also need to discover how to pass it on to others. How do we get involved in teaching, training, and helping to transform people into mature disciples who love God and love others? So today, we will be looking at some dynamics of effective discipleship. However, before we jump in, I want you to consider this statement. The positive impact we have on others is directly related to how effective we are in being a disciple ourselves that make other disciples. So in light of this, how should we approach discipleship? Well, now let's look at a few dynamics. The first point I want to make today is that effective discipleship is marked by a positive team approach. Look at verses 1 through 6. As we just read, after the uproar ended, hallelujah, Paul went to the disciples and he encouraged them and he said goodbye and he set out to Macedonia. Then he traveled through that area speaking many words of encouragement to people, and he finally landed in Greece where he stayed 3 months because the Jews had made a plot against him. Just as he was about to sail to Syria, he decided to go back to Macedonia. Now, he was accompanied by 7 great men, and these men went on ahead and waited for us at Troas. That's what Luke is saying. But when we sailed from Philippi after the Feast of Unleavened Bread and 5 days later joined the others at Troas, and then he goes on to say, where we stayed 7 days. Now, it appears that Paul may have arrived in Troas on Easter Sunday or Monday. Now, Luke chose not to break up his narratives with any comments about the 5-day journey between Philippi and Troas. And then he didn't mention anything about what happened during the 7 days in Troas. Nevertheless, we can look at the big event of this passage and at the very least appreciate the fact that Resurrection Day or the first fruits had just come and gone. reminding them all that Jesus had conquered death, having risen from the dead. Now, these details are just part of the background of the story, but they are of interest. But what I want us to focus on for a moment is Paul's model of discipleship. As was his custom, he got together with the disciples at Ephesus, and he encouraged them. And after bidding them farewell, he went off to Macedonia to encourage other disciples. For you see, Paul knew that it was not all about him. He knew that it was all about Jesus. And he also knew that it took a team approach to carry out the great commission that the Lord had called them to. Now, as I said, Luke lists seven godly men who are part of the team. Now, I'm not going to stop and comment on each one due to time, but each one, I came to tell you, was a faithful Christ follower and helped make the team effective. By the way, verses 5 and 6 show us that Luke is actually traveling with Paul during this time. Look at the pronouns he uses, us and we, to show that he was with Paul and he was a firsthand witness. So Paul approached discipleship by gathering believers together as a team and then encouraging them all along the way to spread the good news about Jesus and to honor and obey him each and every day. So now, what does that mean? The same thing. Because we need to remember that we are all on the same team. We also need to realize that we can be much more effective at being and making disciples if we get together as a team and encourage one another. Now, I know there probably isn't a person within the sound of my voice who would say they're not busy. We've all got things going on in our life that eat up our time and our energy. We're busy. I get it. But are we busy making disciples? I believe that we can begin to link our lives together more effectively so that we can approach discipleship as a team. And teams practice together. They work together. They plan together. Hallelujah. They laugh together. They win together. And hallelujah, the most important thing, they get together. Thank you, Jesus. None of us can be as effective alone as we can be as a part of a team. So we all need to start rethinking that independent mindset that would make us think that we don't need to give and receive support from others in the body of Christ. And this leads us to the second dynamic of effective discipleship. Effective discipleship is marked by a sense of spiritual community. Verse 7, on the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, he kept right on talking until midnight. Now, possibly 1 week after the commemoration of Resurrection Day, Paul and the believers at Troas were gathered together on the first day of the week. This could have been a Saturday evening to us, since the evening marked the beginning of the next day in that culture. In fact, there is a Jewish gathering called the Haggadah ceremony, which marks the end of the Sabbath day and welcomes the coming new week. Haggadah means division or distinction. Most Jews and some God-fearing Gentiles attended synagogue during the Sabbath and rested at home, reading portions of the scripture. At the end of the Sabbath, they would gather with some friends for the Haggadah ceremony. Now, this is only my theory, but I just believe that that was a built-in gathering time. It was a time that the early Christians came together to break bread. Because remember, the first day of the week, began sometime around 6 p.m. on Saturday evening or whenever it got dark. By the way, most Bible scholars consider the breaking of bread to be what we know as communion. So it is likely that early believers gathered at the conclusion of the Sabbath and had communion together to honor the Lord of the Sabbath, proclaiming his death till he comes. Now, again, all of these background facts are interesting to me. But the really important thing we need to see here is found in these three words from verse 7. We came together. Now, why did they come together? And what was the nature of their gathering? Well, they came together to break bread. They came together for a spiritual purpose, to remember the Lord's death and to thank him for what he did on that cross. They also came together for the same reason we gather together on a day just like today. They came together for fellowship, worship, ministry, and discipleship. You see, they realized that they needed one another, and they needed the ministry that would take place as they interacted together. They also knew that if they wanted to share the good news about Jesus with others through their lives during the week coming, then they needed this time of connection and encouragement. This sense of spiritual community played a huge role in developing disciples. And guess what? We needed to. And I'm not just talking about during Sunday during worship service. We need a real spiritual community. And community is everywhere, every day. Community is interconnectedness. Community is accepting and a place to belong. Community is a team working together toward a common cause. We need to develop a greater sense of spiritual community so that those who follow Christ can continue to grow and develop into what God wants them to be. We need a genuine spiritual community so that others will want to become disciples of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's why I am so blessed by the Spirit Alive family, the way we come together, the way they show up on everybody's programs to love and support and to encourage. Hallelujah. It gives me a sense of spiritual community. And we sitting all over the country. Praise God. Now, can't nobody tell me that that ain't God, because only God builds a community when you don't even have to be in the same room. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, these next few verses will show us one essential trait of an effective disciple. Let's look at the word. There were many lamps. I'm going to read now Acts 8 through 12. There were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting. Seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. Man. When he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. Now Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, and put his arms around him and said, "Don't be alarmed. He's alive." Then he went upstairs again and broke bread and ate. And after talking till daylight, he left. Now, the people took the young man home, and they were greatly comforted. Sometimes, beloved, things don't go the way we think they should. This scene had all the makings of a bad day or night, shall we say. Here is this young disciple who falls asleep, falls out of the window, and dies. I think that could really ruin a good meeting in a hurry. Paul, however, refused to take death for an answer. He didn't rebuke any demons or blame the devil. He just ran down and embraced the young man, and with complete and total confidence in God, hallelujah, he offered reassurance to those around him that everything was okay. He said, don't be alarmed. He's alive. Why was he alive? Because Paul prayed for him. You see, Paul trusted God to breathe new life into Eutychus. And guess what? God did that. Hallelujah. Paul prayed and God showed up with power. Hallelujah. And I find it interesting that a resurrection would take place within a week of the commemoration of Resurrection Day. It was one thing to think about the resurrection of Jesus and hear the story about everything that had happened. It was another thing to actually see somebody raised from the dead by the power of God. Yet, even the greatest miracles often leave the skeptic still a skeptic. You see, it's harder to believe than not. So there will always be those who feel they have a reason to doubt. But I say pray for the skeptic. Hallelujah, because God loves them too. But however, for those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ, for those who are disciplined disciples of his, our faith is strengthened each and every time we hear about an answered prayer or we hear about a miracle. You see, true disciples are learning to completely trust God, the one who called them to follow him. Hallelujah. They're no longer looking at their degrees. They're no longer looking at the things they have. They're no longer trusting in any temporal things. They're putting all their trust, all their faith, all their expectations. Hallelujah. In the one that called them. It is this simple trust in God that will result in miracles, result in healings, deliverance, reconciliation, and yes, hallelujah, people can be raised from the dead. Do you trust the Lord with your life? Do you trust the Lord with your family and their lives? Do you trust the Lord with your future, your finances, your hopes, and your dreams? If you can't say yes in some area of your life, that's okay. I'm not here to condemn you for that. However, I encourage you to go deeper and into the Lord and get to know him better. After all, how can you trust somebody that you don't know very well? See, the more we know Jesus, the more reason we have to trust him in every area of our lives. He knows what he's doing. He's always known what he's doing. And he has always been sovereign when he does it. And he has a specific plan for your life and for my life. And that plan includes developing our faith and trust in him to the highest possible level. And if you think you are alone in your faith development, remember that close disciples of Jesus once had very little faith. It is declared and decreed in Matthew chapter 8, verses 25 through 36, where they was hollering out, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. And this Jesus, he replied, you of little faith, why are you afraid? But check this out. Then Jesus got up, and he rebuked the wind and the waves. And suddenly, it was completely calm. Now, saints, we've all had those times of little faith. However, the Lord is working in us and through us to make us the people of faith that he wants us to be. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you are following Jesus, hallelujah, then you will have the mindset of Jesus. You want your steps ordered by his holy word. And that will cause you, hallelujah, to know that you are blessed to be a blessing. That means you cannot wait to go tell somebody about Jesus. You cannot wait to go share your experiences in an effective and productive way so that somebody might understand the word better so they can apply it to their daily lives. We are always, should always have a reachable, teachable spirit ourselves. We should always be in prayer. We should always be thinking about the greater good and not just ourselves, not just our household. What are we doing to reach out to the next man, woman, boy, or girl to let them know that Jesus lives and he loves them and he wants them to call on him. He wants them to know him in a personal relationship. He wants them to have access to his Father God so that they may be sustained, so that they may be kept by the Holy One. Hallelujah. He wants us to live in a way that our very lives will call people to live for Jesus. They're going to love the way we walk and the way we talk. When we're being real, when we're being authentic, when we're thinking about discipleship. Pour into me, Holy Spirit. Continue to make me a better disciple so that I might better disciple others. Because it's not my will, Father God, but your will be done.
Your will, yes.
And I want your will to be done in my life. I don't want to drag behind when you tell me to do something. I don't want to run ahead or get ahead of you, Father God. I want to walk right in step with you. I want to walk in step with you. And I want to keep my eyes open for every opportunity, hallelujah, to speak an encouraging word, to share the goodness of the Lord, to just demonstrate love. Because, see, I have the mindset of Christ, and I want everybody to be saved. I want everybody to know who he is for themselves. God didn't give us all this wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and discernment to keep to ourselves. He gave it so we could give ourselves away. He gave it so we could share with others. He gave it so we could empower somebody else. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So then they can turn around, hallelujah, and show others how to do it too.
Yeah.
We have a saying here, many of the servant leaders say here at Spirit Alive, each one reach one. And then after we reach one, we reach another and another and another, one heart at a time. Discipleship is about relationship. Discipleship is about caring and communing and knowing that you are a part of a family. We're all on the same team. I just want to ask you, how are we being the disciples that Jesus wants us to be? Or are we being the disciples that Jesus wants us to be? Furthermore, are we making disciples like he told us to? Just think about it. And if you feel like you're lacking in this area, don't let the enemy have you beating yourself up about it. You just go to the Lord and talk to him about it. But a few things you can do today, put in your little treasure chest, is if you remember you don't have to do this all alone and you become a team player, then you will see that you will have everything that you need. And do all that you can to promote a sense of spiritual community, okay? A community that is built on the word of God, as a community that is built on love, and they live the principles of Christ Jesus. They love, we love one another, we accept one another, we honor one another, we pray for one another, we bear one another's burdens without telling the whole world about it. Hallelujah. We walk in honesty and integrity with each other. Hallelujah. That's what community does. And then we need to learn how to trust God with everything we've got. And I do mean everything. Everything that we got, everything that we want, everything. Trust him with your lives, with your family's lives. Put the lives of those that you love that even may not even know him yet as a pardon of their sin. Put them on the mercy seat and just keep praying for them. And just keep living that life with the mindset of Christ. Just keep living that life with that love exuding from you. Not condemnation, not hypocrisy, but love. And tell them, come on, you don't have to do this by yourself. We, God's got a whole team of people just waiting to love on you. And then just trust him to do it. Trust him. Trust him. Hallelujah. And if you do that, you will begin the process of really having a dynamic and faithful discipleship. We should be thinking discipleship everywhere we go. Hallelujah. And everything Amen. We do. You know, we should be concerned about the next brother. How they living? How you living? We need to be the ones that lead the charge in showing the world a more excellent way. We need to be the ones, if not us, who? We profess to love God. So if we're not telling the people about God, who's going to do it? And if not now, or when? Because God is coming back for his church. And we need to be ready because we got packing. He said he's coming back for a church without spot, blemish, wrinkle. Listen, right now the church has pockets, pleats, and everything else. So we've got some work to do. We've got some corrections to make. And I'm not saying it's out of condemnation. It's the truth. And the truth will make you free. So I'm giving you some real truth today. We need to work harder. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we need to want to work harder.
Thank you.
For the glory of God. Because there's so many out there that are just wandering around in darkness. And they're allowing the enemy to use them and abuse them. We can save them. We can make a difference in their lives. So I pray that this message today will encourage you to be a disciple to others, to walk in compassion and understanding, because it's not about us. It's about Jesus. And when God calls us to do something, and when you're called to be a servant leader, or you're called to be any kind of officer in the church, your time is not your own. We've given ourselves away. So when God says move, we move, because he takes priority over everything. Amen. And to God be the glory. Hallelujah. Right now, I pray that you were blessed and you heard something that blessed you today. Today,
yes,
we're going to ask, Pastor Vanessa Carver to come in and pray an intercessory and prophetic prayer to seal this word. Then I'm going to ask Apostle Zeta Flowers to come back in and do the invitation, because we most definitely want to give you an opportunity to give your life to Christ. That's why we do all of this. And then we will take praises from our folks in the sanctuary, and that will be followed by our mighty bishop. He will be our anchor today, and he will give us a word for the men. Hallelujah. So right now, we are going to have Pastor Vanessa come, hallelujah, and she will pray for this message and seal it with the word of God.
Amen. Thank you, Apostle Cook. Can you hear me?
Yes, dear.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. Father God, thank you today for you speaking so clearly through Apostle Cook. First of all, I thank you, Lord, today for you're always sovereign, and we thank you, Lord, today for your purposes in the earth and that your kingdom come and your perfect will be done as it pertains to discipleship. I thank you, Lord, today for replenishing and refreshing and energizing the vessel that poured into us and poured into us as it pertains to this global ministry. One of the things that I heard God clearly say is follow the leader. And I just thank you, Lord, today that we make and examine and assess who is leading us and what is leading us as we serve you and we serve the community and we serve the our sphere of influence, whoever and whatever we are serving in the demographic that you've called us to, that we can sit down with you, Lord, today in a place of being receptive to you and accountable to who are we called to. And are we following the leader? I thank you, Lord, today that you lead and guide us into all truth. I thank you, Lord, today for that leader or that person, Lord, that's listening today that's struggling with servanthood, that's struggling with submitting and committing to your total will, and that we learn today, as Apostle Cook took us to the word about discipleship, as Jesus had called his disciples, and how we need to be sensitive to the pulse of the things that you called us to. But we got to sit down with you first. We got to sit down with you first and evaluate, even as it pertains to the ministry that we are connected to. Who are we following? I just keep hearing that. Follow the leader. Amen. Know who you're leading. And if you're not following who you're supposed to follow, then it's just as like Apostle Cook said, reevaluate and begin to do some reconstruction. I thank you, Lord, today and reconnecting to where you're supposed to be. This isn't about condemnation. I thank you, Lord, today that the conviction from your word comes to us as servants so we don't get stuck on guilt. We don't get stuck on shame. We don't get stuck on these things that, as it pertains to what man will judge us and this and that, but that we be about your business. And as we be about your business, that this place of intimacy with you first will help us know I am following the leader. I am following those who are called over me, who oversee over my soul as pastors and apostles. And I thank you, Lord, today for the fivefold. And I pray, Lord, that that person who's listening or that minister who's listening or that ministry that's being represented here today, that they begin to reevaluate and follow the leader. That we begin to hear you at a place where we know that we're in the purposes of your will. We're being discipled, and we're allowing ourselves to be disciples as needed so that we can cut ties with doing things in our own strength. This becomes the work of man and not of things that you're doing. So I just thank you, Lord, for this word being filled with a powerful word. And I just thank you, Lord, today that we will see the fruit of this and that it's not a snack. This is something that we can eat on and feed on for days to come. It's going to help us sharpen where we are. And I thank you, Lord, today for sustenance in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Vanessa. Thank you. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you. Hallelujah. Now, at this time, I'm going to ask Apostle Zeta Flowers, who is the founding senior pastor of All Nations Christian Fellowship in Oakland, California, to come right now, and she's going to lead you in the invitation. Now, Apostle Zeta is not inviting you to a church, although she has one. What she's about to do is invite you into a relationship with Jesus Christ. So, Apostle Zeta, would you please come forth at this time?
Yes, I will. Praise God. The message sure was good. And it went forth just like it needed to. And I know that everyone would have to be touched by it, even those that may not have given their lives over to Christ as yet. Praise God. But I'm going to read this one scripture, and then we're going to go a little further.
Amen. Thank you, God.
And that's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Praise God. So Jesus did that
so that we all could have everlasting life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so that's a blessing in itself. And we're going to go a little bit farther. We're going to go over to Romans, the 10th chapter. Praise God. Hallelujah. God has made a way that we don't have to continue to live in sin, hallelujah, and be a part of the world, but we can be a part of his family, praise God, and that is what he desires. I'm going to read verse 8 in Romans chapter 10, and it says that it's letting us know that the word is near, the word is nigh. The scripture says the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Hallelujah. And that's why we preach. Hallelujah. So that the word is right there. The word is close to you, even in your mouth. Praise God, because you have heard it. You've received it. Hallelujah. And it goes to the heart. Hallelujah. Of man. Hallelujah. Women, children. Hallelujah. That word that is preached. Hallelujah. Because when the word goes out, praise God. Hallelujah. It builds up your faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Faith cometh by hearing the word of God. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That's how we gather knowledge is by hearing the word of God and knowing who Jesus is. Hallelujah. Knowing what he did. Hallelujah. Knowing how much he loves you. Knowing what took place. Hallelujah. To show us that he loves us so much. Hallelujah. That he died. Hallelujah. But he rose again on the third day. Now I'm going to read verses 9 and 10. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you can just believe, hallelujah, you've heard the word, hallelujah. Now you can believe because now you know. And verse 10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, then confession is made unto salvation. Hallelujah. So we acknowledge the fact, hallelujah, that we are sinners. Hallelujah. We, you know, before we come to Christ, we are lost. But when we come to him, when we accept him, praise God, when we believe, hallelujah, him, and we make that confession, praise God, hallelujah, then it tells us in verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. We can't become righteous all by ourselves. Hallelujah. We need Jesus. We need a Savior. Hallelujah. We need one that really cares about us and loves us. And we have him. Hallelujah. And you can have him and have a relationship with him. Hallelujah. If you confess. Hallelujah. With your mouth. Praise God. So I'm going to lead you into a prayer right now. Hallelujah. And today is your appointed time because you heard, because the word is close to you, because it went out and you heard it. Hallelujah. And all you have to do is receive it. Hallelujah. And receive the Lord Jesus this morning. And the word of God says you will be saved. Now, if you can repeat this prayer with me. Father God, I come to you this morning wanting to be saved, desiring, hallelujah, that you come into my heart, that you change me, hallelujah. I want to allow you to change me into being who you want me to be. And I believe in my heart, hallelujah, that Jesus, hallelujah, died on the cross for me, hallelujah. That God the Father gave his only son, hallelujah, so that I live, hallelujah. So if you make that confession, hallelujah, just by asking the Lord to come into your heart right now, Lord, I pray that you would come into my heart right now. Hallelujah. I am confessing that I am a sinner. But
yes.
I am confessing, hallelujah, today that I desire to be saved. I desire to learn more about you. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Be who you have already called me to be. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In verse 13, in this passage says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You have accepted him, and if you have confessed with your mouth, you are saved. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And you are
Lord.
Welcome, hallelujah, into the kingdom of God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And I pray that you will be led to a church, hallelujah, a Bible study, broadcast, such as Spirit of Life, where you can learn more about Jesus, that you can have a relationship with him, because that's what he really desires of you, is to know him, hallelujah, and to have a relationship with him, to follow him, hallelujah, and learn what it is to be a disciple of Christ, hallelujah, hallelujah. You heard today that it is important to follow your leader. Hallelujah. Let him be, continue to be, even after this
your
day,
leader.
Your leader.
Yes.
In Jesus'
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That was absolutely beautiful. Now, if you're sitting in our sanctuary and you just want to put a praise on it, you want to let people know you are in the sanctuary today, hallelujah, if you press 1 on your keypad, that will let me know that you want to speak or have a word in the service today. Hallelujah. I don't put anybody on blast. So if you want to speak, please press your 1. If there is nothing else, if you do not wish to speak, don't anybody wish to speak, your sister apostle is scrolling like mad, then we will move right on to Bishop Lester Carver and his word for the meeting today.
Praise the Lord, Apostle Cook. I'll tell you that God is serious about establishing order in the earth, order in our lives, and he is looking to continue to win those souls back to the kingdom that the devil sought to separate from God, to take away from God's household, from the people that God has called before the foundations of the world. So as men, we have to be disciples of Christ. And to be disciples of Christ, you got to know what a disciple is. A disciple is a disciplined follower. And I'll tell you, that is something that is not so easily understood, because people will follow anything. People are looking to be led. But when you know that Jesus Christ is the good shepherd, the only good shepherd, then you know that your job as a man is to lead others to Jesus Christ so that they can be in that place of protection. See, what God says in 1 Corinthians 11:3 is, I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. And we have to understand that God has an order, because God needs no covering and protection. He's over all. But over Christ is God. And over man is Christ, and over woman is man, and over all of the children is woman, man, Christ, and God. And so you see these multiple levels of covering. So when I think of the men of God that we minister to in the Spiritualized Network that are in South Korea, in Japan, in Canada, in the United Kingdom, in the United States, in Brazil, in Australia, in Botswana, in Zambia, in Cameroon, in Saudi Arabia, in India, in Thailand, in Vietnam, in the Philippines, in Russia, in Romania, in Italy, in Spain, in France, in Ireland, in Finland, in the Netherlands, in Germany, in Poland, in Hungary, in Norway, in Latvia, and in Fiji. I think about how God has called us to win souls around the world, the entire world, to reconcile these souls back to God. And when we're disciplined followers of our good shepherd, Jesus Christ, then we are leading others to Jesus Christ, who leads them to the throne of God, that puts them in a place of power, purpose, and praise. So I want to leave this one verse with you. In Ephesians chapter 16:8, it says, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. God's desire is to reward you for the good work that you do for him in such a way that others are inspired to do the work that you are doing, so that when they see souls in need, when they see souls who do not yet know Jesus Christ, when they see those who have not yet submitted to the authority of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they learn to submit as you submit. Because until we as men submit to the authority of Jesus Christ, we will never see women submit to our authority. We will never see our children submit to the authority of their mothers and their fathers, and because they're not going to see their fathers submitting to the authority of Jesus Christ as we see Jesus Christ submit to the authority of God. See, Jesus Christ obeyed God in all things, even unto death. And because he obeyed God unto death in all things, God exalted him above all and gave him a name above all, that at the name of Jesus, every knee in heaven and earth and under the earth shall bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God, as it says in Philippians chapter 2. So I want to encourage you to be all you can be that God has called you to be as you submit yourself to the authority of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you be that disciple, knowing that the definition of a disciple is a disciplined follower of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is the word for the men today. And Apostle Cook, thank you for the opportunity to share that.
Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We just praise God for all that we have heard today. And if you enjoyed the message on discipleship, I cordially invite you to join me on Taking It to the Streets tomorrow at 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central, and 9 p.m. Eastern Time, when we will begin our in-depth study of discipleship. We're about to go deep into discipleship, what it is, what to do, what not to do, hallelujah, according to God's word. And then on Tuesday, you'll hear more from the man of God, Bishop Lester Carver, on Tuesday night teaching. You can hear from Apostle Zeta Flowers this Wednesday. And all of these programs air at the same time. Then on Thursday, I want everybody to come out and listen to Pastor Vanessa Carver, where she speaks about the spirit of rejection. On Friday, we're going to be talking about those Ten Commandments, hallelujah, because we believe that the Ten Commandments is the basis for everything, hallelujah. And then on Saturday, you can listen to young minister Adam Tuggle as he brings you a Rhema word on the summit. So we have something for everyone every day here at the Spirit Alive Network, and we pray that you will continue to walk with us here. Now, if there be nothing else, may the love of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with you greatly. We pray that you can have a beautiful and blessed week. You continue to acknowledge Christ in all that you do, and from our household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. You are dismissed. Go in peace and remember, God loves you and so do we. For everyone that's in the sanctuary, all mics are unmuted. Hallelujah. I just want to tell everybody I love you. Thank you for coming out. We praise God for all of you. Have a beautiful and blessed week, family. You did a phenomenal job. Love you, Marty. God bless you all.
Love you guys. Have a great day.
Love you, Bishop.
Love you all so much.
God bless you,
Marty. Love you.